You're very welcome, Dagmar. I'll start off with introductory remarks by the chairman. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significantly non-financial interest they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering an exempt matter. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and as has been agreed, that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if they are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those in the chamber have spoken. Instant message should be kept to the following letters. Type 2 if you wish to ask a question, C for a comment, D if you wish to propose, S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. So, Chairman's remarks. I hope you have all enjoyed the sunshine. These are all nice and calm looking. Just all that there, just Chairman's remarks. We've had a good matter 4 or 5 weeks or so, I have, and quite a bit of it has happened. I know I've been at a number of events there. The Kiel rally was on there a weekend or two ago, and I really enjoyed it. So that I wouldn't mind trying to drive some of the cars myself. I don't know how safe everybody would have been. And there's been so many, so there has, and they're even there today. I don't know if I'm allowed to even remark about it, Marie, because I was at there the day up in Port of Ferry. Hopefully there's a large sum of money coming from the lottery there to the council in partnership with Ards North Down for the environment. It's a very large sum of money. So that will be all brought forward, thanks through the ERT, Marie, isn't it? Other than that, I've started going into everything I've been talking too long. So I'll just move on then to declarations of interest. Oh, sorry, the apologies. There's one here from Conor Mall, Councillors Campbell, Hale, Mathers, Rowan, and Howie. Any other apologies?
Yep, Martin Ferdy. You got Michael Rowan.
Yep. Any others? No. We'll move on then to the action sheet. It's page 1 and 2. There's only 2 there, isn't there? There's one on the back side of it. The proposer and second.
So proposed, Chair.
Yeah, sorry. There was second. Lee Sturgeon or Councillor Sturgeon? Is everybody in agreement with it? They're happy. We'll move on then to the minutes of our last council meeting. Page 4 there. 14 pages there, sure there is. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 15, 14. Could a, if a proposer and second of these are an accurate minute? Answer any if a copy to propose?
Yes, Chairman, I just wanted to raise one issue.
Just we get it passed there first.
Okay.
Would somebody sign it, please? That would you happy to sign?
Yeah.
Just a minute. Wait, did you miss something in the action sheet there, Declan?
Yeah.
Well, allow a senior moment every now and then. So it's been proposed to sign it. Is everybody in agreement? Yeah.
Yeah, Chairman, it was just on the issue where I had raised about the amount of money that the council raises in revenue tree recycling.
Mm-hmm.
But Chairman, I'm sure you've had the same problems this week as I've had. The bins, there's so many been missed in the moorings there at the minute. It is dreadful. And brown bins sitting and in the warm weather, very, very smelly. And Sinead, I think we really need to see what's going on there, because if you look across the divide into the Down Legacy area, their bin collection service is superb, whereas we really seem to be suffering. So if you can give us an update on what's going on, if it's broke down lorries or whatever, because it really is horrific at the minute. Thank you.
Everybody have enough for the minute? Yes, Sinead, do you want to answer that?
Yes, through the chair, I will investigate the matter and points raised and come back directly to yourself. I know, chair, you've raised it with me outside the meeting, so I'll come back both of you on the matter.
Yeah, I did raise it with Sinead, said it, so we're waiting, open mouths, waiting for the votes. All right. Has anybody else any comment on the minutes? Yep. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah. Matters raising, Chairman, on page 2, just further to my personal statement last month, needless to say, it took an awful lot out of me emotionally then and since. So, those remarks, Chairman, I only want to make a very brief comment on it. Those remarks were specific to an individual officer, not the corporate body of council, and just to let colleagues know, I've had no correspondence or word from that officer since. So I'm happy enough, Chairman, as I indicated last month, to allow this to play out via a formal investigation. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Anybody have any other comments? No. I think we'll move on. Councillor Lewis.
Chair, just to add that we would be happy and in support of the formal investigation as well, for if there was some very serious issues raised, and it would be good to get them all resolved, Chair. Thank you.
Would Marie or Liam, you want to comment there?
Thank you, Chair. And just to confirm, and possibly if Sarah had any other comment in relation to it, but there's no motion before the Council for a decision, and this is on the minutes and the accuracy of it, and I do not see any commentary in relation to the accuracy at the minute.
Okay. Peter?
Yeah, Chair. Listen, obviously this is an extremely sensitive issue, and I want to put out there first, there's two human people on both ends of this. So I don't want to get into any of the personal issues in that. We must protect everybody that's involved in this. But as a group leader, and I suppose other group leaders would feel the same, we need to know in a governance going forward what is the right thing to do in these circumstances. We hear in certain circumstances around not being given information because it's commercially sensitive, and then in other times information is brought forward. So we need to keep ourselves right as a council. We need to protect us as a councillor, and this has to be so. An internal investigation, or whatever way that goes through the audit committee or whatever, to find out what was taking place was correct, and we learn from it going forward. But just on what Elaine has said there, I don't understand that reply. I don't understand where we go from here. And what we need as councillors in this chamber is to understand exactly what's happening in the process, and we can take a step back and let that process come to its conclusion and be fair on everybody on all sides. And that's not to say that anybody on any side is any blame from us as a political party, but there are serious questions to be asked here. So I would like clarity going forward, but yeah, fully support looking into the information.
Was there an investigation or not then, Chair? Or you need a proposal or signer that there's an investigation?
Thank you, Chair. Just to confirm, in relation to any governance or any discussions on this matter, it's an ongoing legal matter. I did advise group party leaders today by email as well to confirm there is an ongoing legal process which will have to be exhausted in any event. The matter will have to be brought to the attention of the High Court judge in relation to the representations that were made through that case, and it is ongoing. It's inappropriate to discuss it any further. There has been a number of emails advising of what the position is by the applicant in those proceedings, and we therefore cannot go into any detail around that in an open session, but we are proceeding by way of affidavit evidence to the High Court to deal with the issue. That's the most appropriate forum for the matter to be dealt with, and certainly any statements from any relevant elected members that may assist us is more than welcome.
Nobody else want to make it?
Just come back, I'm not coming. Elaine, and I want to be very clear, because this is not taking any side in this, it's just get the information. Elaine, I want to be very clear. As a political party, we're not taking any side on this. We just want to make sure that we're protected going forward, that the right information has been given to us. That is the point I'm making. See, when this is a legal matter, we can't discuss it, it's commercially sensitive or whatever. This is a legal matter. That's the line that we get when we ask questions about sensitive information on a JR, right? But then that's thrown at them when if somebody's name is put out there. Why wasn't that line given for that? So it's extremely confusing that this is. I understand this legal matter that is separate from what we're discussing here this evening. But are we saying that we can't discuss anything around somebody's name being used because there's an ongoing JR? They're two separate issues to me. So do I expect? I'll finish on this, Elaine. Do I expect going forward that my colleagues that are sitting on working groups, programme boards, that when they ask for information and they get the line that that's commercially sensitive or there's a JR, we can't give you any information, that would be consistent right throughout this process? Yeah. Because we're sitting here because it wasn't consistent. It was because we as group leaders got information, and maybe we shouldn't have, if you're taking your own advice.
Come on, Marley.
Thank you, Chair. So just to confirm, Councillor, they're not two separate matters. They're both interlinked because they relate to the same ongoing application. So I can read out again what was advised and what was in the press. So there's no difference in relation to what you would be informed as an elected member or as confirmed in the press following the last meeting. In relation to the Civic Centre Judicial Review, the Council's legal representatives were advised on the 23rd of April in relation to the councillor that they had lodged to lodge an affidavit in support of the applicant's case but was unable to do so. The council agreed that the case could be moved to a later date. It regrets that the information was sent in was incorrect and that the information has caused further upset and distress to the councillor. The council legal representatives sought an urgent explanation from the applicant solicitors about the contents of the letter, and I have advised you as to what their response is. Their response has confirmed their position in relation to it. So the most appropriate forum to discuss that in detail will be before the High Court, because this is not just an issue before the Council. It is also an ongoing High Court action for which there has to be answers. There's no issue in relation to providing councillors with an update in relation to ongoing cases, as we have done and as we will continue to do. If there needs to be further discussion in a closed setting, then there's no issue with that as well. But in relation to this particular point, we cannot discuss it in any detail in this setting until the High Court has considered it.
Councillor Tinley. Councillor Bergey, sorry.
I'll wait till I've finished.
Go ahead. He's waiting to see when he's coming for it.
Can you clarify if a proposal can be made on the back of minutes? And if so, has there not been a proposal by Councillor Tenley and an investigation, seconded by Councillor Lewis.
Where's the legal advice on this? Would you like to explain that to Marie? The sign of a rammer or that you told me?
Sure. Thank you, Chair. In relation to the item that we're at on the agenda, it is on the accuracy of the minutes. There is no matter that has been tabled. If you wish to take a motion on the floor and seek a proposer and seconder in relation to that, then you will have to look at standing orders and get a qualified majority vote in relation to making any changes or discussing any other matters.
So to clarify, because it has been done on a number of occasions in this council where we discuss minutes and a proposal is made on the back of minutes, we're saying that's no longer. We can't do that now.
Elaine, you want to comment again?
You can certainly review it and come back to you, Councillor, in relation to that.
Hang on to that, sir. I'll get them in the right order. Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, listen, in one way I'm a bit lost here because there's so much being discussed here and I think we're all sort of talking in a wee bit of riddles in some ways. Nobody knows exactly what we're talking about here. And what I'm concerned about is there are obviously and has been updates provided in terms of JRs relevant to the case that's been talked about. But then there's mentions about investigations as well. And the one concern that I have from my own point of view as a councillor is there's reference to information provided to group leaders. And that's fair enough. I respect the group leaders' forum. But what I would say is there are some councillors, including myself and three independents, that are outside that forum. And if there is information being provided that is important information on significant issues of concern relevant to this council, all councillors should be provided with that information. And I just want to put on record that it must happen. We can't have a situation where maybe because of parties being in a situation of strength number-wise that they're being provided with information that maybe the likes of myself or maybe potentially two or three independents aren't being provided with information. And it does happen. There's no point saying it doesn't happen. But it's not good enough. I have a mandate the same way anybody else has, and irrespective of whether you're in a party that has one or 20. So, and I think whenever we're discussing issues of significant, you know, relevance to this council, all councillors should be provided with that information. So I want to put that on record now because there appears to be maybe some information that has been filtered to group leaders, but not to all of us.
Well, you're requesting it be sent to you now, David.
Well, as an elected representative, I think if we're having discussions and there's relevant business that's important to this council, I think all elected representatives should be knowing what's going on. And it shouldn't be just a matter for group leaders to know. So I'm putting that on record, Chair. It's not good enough to find us in a situation where maybe myself, Councillor Tinley, Councillor Enright, Councillor Mark McKibbins, you know, are in situations where we're not finding out anything, but yet some group leaders know and they can distribute to their parties. You can't have that situation, particularly if there are issues, from what I can try and decipher here, are fairly significant from a council point of view. So that's my opinion on this, Chair, and I think that needs to be put on record.
Yeah. Want to comment on that, Elaine?
Thank you. I have no issue setting up the meeting with any members that do not have any conflict attending for a detailed update in a closed setting. That's no issue, but it is inappropriate in an open setting to discuss ongoing legal issues. Sarah, I'll just send her a reveal.
One point on that. I'm very conscious of that, and I'm here long enough to know that we have to be very careful sometimes whenever there are legal issues relevant to council. We don't discuss that in open forum. But what I'm saying is there's a point of principle here. All councillors, irrespective of whether you have a group leadership or not, should be kept informed on significant issues of concern to this council. And that it shouldn't for me to have to come to this chamber and beg to be asked to get be told something. It should be practice, standard practice for the council to do that. So I'm just putting that in the future.
Councillor Finlay.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Chairman, listen. I've seen a lot of gaslighting going on here this evening, and it has very, very quickly come into play. I want to be absolutely certain about something here. The GR is, and the contents of the legal correspondence were nothing to do with my complaint. My complaint is solely on what that officer done with that information. So the two issues cannot be conflated. And I will be taking, and I will be seeking a formal investigation to begin into the matter that I'm raising here, which is what that officer done with that information. So if I need to make a formal proposal to that effect, I am happy to do that. And I'm actually not sure what the solicitor's telling us, whether a formal proposal is needed or not. But either way, I will be requesting a formal investigation into this matter. So can I get clarity on that for once and for all? And if I need to make a proposal that we seek a formal investigation, I'm happy to do that.
Any guidance, Matt Lane? Legal guidance.
Thank you, Chair. As advised to Councillor Tenley, the appropriate method would be to contact the head of HR in relation to any complaints that you wish to progress. We can progress those.
I'll let you back in again, Jonah.
All right, Chairman. Well, I suppose just to make sure it doesn't get lost in the weeds, I wish to make a formal proposal that an investigation be launched into this matter through the appropriate avenue. Thank you.
Do you have a second for that?
Happy to second that, Chair.
Is everybody in agreement? Everybody? Okay, we'll move on. Who's in second? Next item is minutes of special council meeting held on the 29th of June. There's one, two, three, four pages, a few other bits and pieces. Proposal?
Yeah.
You are proposing there? You are at the meeting.
Sorry, needs from the member, Chair. Just to say that Councillor O'Hare was also in attendance in the chamber, and we'll get those minutes amended then.
Okay, sorry about that. So, whereas Derry has proposed that the minutes are accurate, anybody wish to sign that they attended the meeting? There's the McGuinness, and the McGuinness. Everybody happy enough then? Okay, we'll move on then to the planning section. If you want to comment on this, it's just a local development plan, the progress on it.
Just for information.
Just for information, point of view. There's a proposer and a seconder for it, please, to note. Somebody has been in the planning committee. Please, sir.
That's okay.
Molly and Valra. Yeah, is everybody happy?
Glenn, how far advanced are we with our new area plan? We're still going on the Bonbridge area in Mourne one, aren't we?
Yeah.
We must be the only council of Northern Ireland not have completed it, are we?
Oh, no, hasn't done very much. He's done a lot of the councils have a lot of work to do yet, so
okay.
We're not that much further behind than anybody else. Probably a bit ahead of some. Okay, we'll move on then. A letter from the Infrastructure Minister.
Yeah, Chair, there's a letter there from the Infrastructure Minister regarding appointment to Warm Point Harbour Authority Board. Members have the letter. What we would ask is we as a council can put forward up to 8 nominations. So if members could provide us with those nominations before 5 p.m. on Wednesday, and if they're provided to
to Sarah.
Yeah.
To Sarah via email. If there are more than eight members, we will take the first eight in line with the timing of them arriving, and we will notify the eight that are nominated. And then it is, we want to be very clear, it's up to the members then to fill out their application forms themselves and to then go through the process. So if members are content enough with that process.
Everybody happy enough? You have the Wednesday at 5, Marie?
Wednesday at 5, yeah.
So don't be rushing there, everybody. Any other
questions?
No,
just a note.
I suppose there's a signer to note it then, please. Declan, my word is reliable. Councillor O'Hare, thank you. Everybody happy enough with that? The correspondence report from Minister Cummings for the Ferry Bridge. And there's a correspondence from the State Secretary of State for Northern Ireland NOM
and the motion.
Notice of motion, Independent Environment Protection Agency. I think that's all. Yep. So anybody any comment? A proposer and a seconder to note them first. Callum's proposed. Second. Second. You happy enough? Does anybody want to make any comment on any of the two? Councillor Bowsey, go ahead.
Just to note that the Minister hasn't given a commitment for the study into the viability of a bridge over Strangford Lough from Strangford Village to Portaferry. And to say that I am disappointed that the Minister is refusing to meet with the DUP on this issue, but has met with her Sinn Féin colleagues. I think it's very unprofessional for a government minister to meet with the Sinn Féin MP for South Down, who doesn't represent the area that the bridge would be in, but has refused to meet with the DUP MLA that represents the area, namely Michelle McElveen MLA, who launched this campaign at the beginning of the year. And indeed, when it comes to councillors, has met with the Sinn Féin councillor for the Downpatrick EA side, but will not meet with the DUP councillor for the Ard side, who was the one that had a notice of motion on this to his council. I do think it will be a benefit to the likes of my own area of Killay, where vehicles are going up over the peninsula instead of over the bridge often. But either way, I think it's something that the people of the Ard Peninsula deserve connectivity that reflects the 21st century. You were on it today, Chairman, the ferry. I was on a couple of weeks ago. You have to wait half an hour every time. If it's full, you have to wait another half an hour. I think if we can build a bridge from the Republic of Ireland to Northern Ireland, I'm sure that we can build a bridge across Strangford Lough. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Young.
Thanks, Chair. If there were to be a feasibility study, we would hope to see within the study the following three areas covered: road upgrades on either side, viability of a more sustainable ferry, and to be mindful of the SSI and SSE. To manage the increased traffic, roads on either side of the lough would need significant upgrades. Sustainable ferry travel options in Belfast are expanding, with a strong focus on reducing carbon footprints through new technologies, green hybrid vessels and electric hydrofoils. The Belfast Bangor pilot is a 30-minute passenger route between Belfast Titanic Quarter and Belfast Marina is planned, utilising this spoiler technology. Stena Line, as the primary operator connecting Belfast to Great Britain, has already been and made significant investments in sustainability. Strangford Lough is the largest sea inlet in the British Isles and Northern Ireland's first maritime conservation zone. It's a renowned special area of conservation and a special protection area. Those titles are not just handed out for no good discernible reason, and there's also a deep historical significance and roots. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Lena. Did I not do that?
I did.
So that brings us pretty much to the end of everything here today. Nice. I thought you liked the one off there.
So I wasn't sure what way you were taking it. You were taking each letter separately.
No, that's okay. Go ahead, Laura.
So it's the one about the IEPA.
For some
The response from the former Secretary of State, you know, it is pretty accurate, you know, a way a functioning executive should work, and the democratic institutions should work. that it is a devolved matter, and we should be able to decide, or the political parties in the North should be able to decide. To say Sinn Féin are, you know, supportive of an independent environment protection agency for many decades, and this has been blocked for many decades and stopped from even getting discussed at the executive. You know, any sort of democracy has to allow for, you know, what the people are requesting. You know, a political party mightn't like it. That's fair enough. You know, we have different views on many things, but the democratic process has to be allowed to happen. It is being blocked. It's not been allowed to be tabled, you know, at the executive for legislation then to be progressed on the floor of the assembly, and then the scrutiny committees allow them to do their work also. To shape the legislation. If a political party is opposed to it, that's fair enough. But again, the petition of concern would be used for that. So there is the real issue of reform. You know, if the people that the political parties represent aren't allowed to have, you know, their elected members discuss these issues, that's eroding democracy. You know, so when the ex-Secretary of State, as I say, is correct. The executive should be able to do it. But, as I say, they're not able to do it. They're not allowed to do it. It's not allowed to be discussed. It's not just that. And recently, there's the good jobs legislation as well. It's been blocked. That's going to help.
We're not going to be discussing that here, Ronnie. Well, it's this independent environment protection.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you're talking about the good jobs.
Yeah, I'm just saying this is our example of legislation which would improve the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, workers, ordinary workers.
It does have to be agreed in the Canada first, Wally. I think that's getting off subject.
Right, that's okay. I'm just saying it's another example of it. So in the interest of democracy, reform has to happen. That's what I'm saying. And hopefully the new Secretary of State will, you know, take a good look at that and just talk to the parties and get agreement. Because the vast majority of the parties support the IEPA. You know, as well known, you know, that they support it. And it, as I said, it should be a democratic right to have that discussed on the floor of the Assembly.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Anybody anything else to say? Well, thanks for Alan.
Yeah.
Thanks for Alan.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. Just to go back to the notice of motion correspondence for Portaferry Bridge, I would welcome the Minister's response, and I think it is important that we look strategically at it in terms of the Newry Morning Down Local Transport Plan 2035. I just would note, you know, we're not privy to requests going into the private office, so I think it is a bit unfair to, you know, to be calling it out in public that meetings have been declined when we don't really know whether they have or not. So I think if people aren't here to defend their position, that's very unfair.
Is that you, Anna?
Can I come back on that?
Yeah.
I think it's well known that I work very closely with Michelle McElveen, MLA, worked in her office for a number of years. I can assure you she put in a request and it was declined.
Okay. That brings us to an end. So safe home, everyone.